different.
So if you are sensitive to ghosts, like I assume you are, be careful.
Ghosts are like spicy food to me. Overwhelming.
Uh-oh. The fucking poltergeist again.
I like, if I come in here first and I have to set up things, if I go down that one hallway back there in the, on the studio side of the building, mm-hmm. I run.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
I can't wait to do some kind of trap that trips you in the dark. Tripping in the dark would be scary. Hi, Miles. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, welcome. Nice to be here.
I really appreciate you coming here. I just want to apologize for my appearance because it may look like I'm sunburned, but I'm actually Asian. I'm part Asian and I had a drink. And I don't have the enzymes to break it down properly, and this is what happens. It's like Yumi Nagashima, you've never seen her drink, and the reason is the same thing. It's like she just can't break it down, and so this is what happens. I'm sorry I look like this. I'm sorry I'm Asian.
Hey, it's fine. I'm fine with that now.
Okay, thanks. We just need to have this conversation, and now we're going to be okay with it. I was thinking about something that happened in my youth. I wanted to tell you both. One time, my mom and I were walking our Rottweiler we had. Rest in peace, Axel. Axel R. We were walking him, and he ran into these shrubs. My mom lives in White Rock, which is predominantly old people who are about to die. That's who lives there.
A lot of shrubs there.
A lot of shrubs there, predominantly shrubs and old people. That's why people go there. That's why it's a tourist destination. Anyway, Axel ran into some shrubs, and he came out with what I thought was maybe like a billy club or a nightstick. It was actually a huge black dildo. And so he was carrying it, and it was a really public street with a lot of traffic, and it was like coming out the sides of his mouth, and people were honking, and I was, you know, when you're a teenager, you're embarrassed all the time. But this goes to show how bold my mom is. My mom was like, shut up, to these cars driving by. And it was all lubricated, and it was disgusting. And you know how it is when you try and get something away from a dog? Like, it sees it as a bit of a challenge, of you know? So he was like, he wouldn't let it happen. And then we got home, and then he brought it to his bed, and he's sitting there with it. And my mom literally had to, like, wait for him to fall asleep to, like, take it from him. But I just remember, like, my stepdad got home, and he walked in and saw it, and he was like, so anyway, blah, blah, like, it was like old news to him.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting. He was
just like, again.
Again, my dog is very kinky.
We used to have a Rottweiler when I was young.
Really?
A big Rottweiler. His name was Milo, which was confusing.
Milo Anderson.
But it was, we lived way out in the logging roads in Shawnigan Lake, and so he brought home something interesting once, but it was a whole leg of a deer.
Yeah, he took it right off the deer. It was still alive.
Yeah, that was quite something. Wow. We were like, okay, wow, interesting.
That's pretty cool.
That was a bit terrifying. He was so funny, though. He was like, we got him from some people that were moving. They couldn't bring him with them. But they had been, like, they babied this dog so much. He came with, like a little saddle bag that he'd wear. Aww. And it was, like, full of treats.
That's
and, like, a
adorable.
Water bottle. Like, we couldn't believe he was, like, the most babied dog we'd ever seen.
That's like those old commercials where it'd be like, what's the Beethoven dog?
St. Bernard.
Oh. Thank you for getting my reference. Big classical music fan. Where he'd have the canteen on his neck for the guy with...
Oh, yeah, the little whiskey.
Yeah, for the man who got in the avalanche and, you know, helped him out.
That was a cure-all for everything back then.
Whiskey?
Yeah, whiskey.
For some people, it still is. For other people, it's a debilitating disease. hey, Miles, you're a huge classical fan.
Yeah.
Who's the most disgusting composer of all time? I'm going to say Beethoven because his landlord was always so upset with how it's like he wouldn't care.
Kevy taking the side of landlords here in Vancouver.
I'm always on the landlord's side.
Kevy.
Beethoven would have just plates of food and he'd never do dishes and his house would be like smelling bad even from the outside. So his landlord is always mad at him. So I'm wondering, that's my pick for grossest composer. Yeah, like classical composers and musicians must be the most eccentric bunch. So I'm wondering, who would you pick?
They're very eccentric. I think Wagner for sure takes the cake for
He's a real nasty motherfucker.
He was a piece of shit. Well, he he was very anti-Semitic, and like not like like most people were back then. Because, you know, it was pretty much a nightmare.
Yeah.
But like, you know, so like most people were like just casually anti-Semitic or racist, right, but he was like, no, this is like a big part of my life. No, like
you're a casual anti-Semitic. I'm the real deal.
Yeah, he was a huge enthusiast. God. Like he wrote like pamphlets.
Really?
About like anti-Semitic things, and he was like really mean to
Mendelsohn. He'd go hand it out to people on the street.
He was, yeah, he was like a nightmare. That was like one of his hobbies. But also, like, he was Hitler's favorite composer as well, like, famously.
Yeah.
And he was like, played a lot at like Nazi rallies and stuff. And he actually, it was illegal to play Wagner in Israel until like the 80s or something.
Really?
Yeah, wow. Yeah, they weren't allowed to play Wagner there.
He'd probably love you. Because of how you look.
Well, probably, yeah, because of how I look. Yeah.
Your matinee good looks.
Yeah, he was, it's interesting how, yeah, I watched a great documentary called Wagner and Me with Stephen Fry, where he talks about it, because Stephen Fry loves Wagner.
Oh, and hey.
For Nazi reasons?
Well, he's Jewish, so it wouldn't make
opposite.
Sense.
Yeah.
But it was very interesting. It's interesting, and, you know, a lot of these composers were nightmares. Gustav Mahler was a nightmare because his wife was actually a very good composer, but he forbade her from writing music when they got married. Like, what?
Oh my God.
What a dick.
Yeah, total dick. Yeah.
I feel like Mozart, just to be like super basic, would be a pretentious dick. Just
you
because
would think
so,
but
so
he was pretty cool.
Really?
Yeah.
Like there's a book of his letters you can read, and he loved like dick jokes and shit jokes.
Oh,
and
I love it.
He was like a total. He sounds like Johnny Knoxville or Steve-O from Jackass.
Yeah.
But he's just like also writing all this incredible music. I think he was definitely eccentric, but not mean. Like you know, accounts of him were just like you know he's very kind of. Aloof, but
I love when you find out like my uncle is a religion studies professor, and he traveled with the Dalai Lama and stuff. And then when I was a teenager, I got to know him a little bit, and his favorite show is Jackass. It's like, well, that just makes everything you do way cooler.
Yeah,
you're this humanitarian that also likes like dick jokes, basically.
It's funny how people associate like dumb humor with. Being stupid.
Yeah.
And like all of the Monty Python people were like Cambridge educated.
Yeah. Like. Yeah. And it's like The Simpsons is all Harvard writers and stuff. Yeah.
Always. I don't know. Like, you don't have to be dumb to like dumb stuff.
Yeah.
Dumb stuff's amazing.
You got to like learn the rules so you can break them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's wonderful. I love silly, stupid humor. I mean, you've seen my stuff. It's dumb as hell.
You are insane. The sketch we did, you scared me for real. Like, you committed to that. Abusive sketch we did. I don't know if you saw it.
That's my favorite sketch.
Yeah. Canned applause.
Yeah.
There's a cut scene where I'm going to leave. Like Miles has just kept me at the studio for days to work on his album, and I'm like trying to sneakily leave, and then Miles is wearing a pig mask and he jumps out of the dumpsters with a knife. And does this weird crab walk. And he takes off his mask. He goes, get back to work. Pranks. But when he did it, it scared me for real.
Oh, my God.
You commit to a level that's scary.
I sat my family down and made them watch the whole thing from the beginning.
That's so great.
Yeah.
I'm glad. That was fun to shoot. I love the idea of being, like, a perfectionist with comedy. Because it's, like, I always laugh at people that think comedy is important. Like, it's in no way important. It's, like, it's so dumb. Like, you're here to just make people laugh.
Yeah.
It's really stupid. But people are like, no, this is big. I'm going to change things with this stupid joke I've got.
Yeah.
No.
Listen. You may think comedy's lowbrow. Wait to hear my fart jokes.
Yeah.
But it's funny, when I was producing Miles' album, we did it in Victoria, which is where he's from, and I, for some reason, the Zoom recorder, like, died during the one of two shows we were going to do. And so I took you aside, and I was like, look, I'm sorry to say this. This next show has to be the show, or else we don't have an album. He's like, okay. And he went and crushed it, had a way better set. And then after, I was like, what the, how are you so calm? You were like, well, I grew up in the Royal Conservatory playing music. That's way scarier than stand-up comedy.
It is scarier.
It was like right before our live stream last week, that was like one of the things that I talked about, comparing how nervous I was like to going up and doing a recital.
Yeah, so scary.
And everyone is all RCM, and everyone is way better than me, and they're all younger than me.
Were you doing piano as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, RCM exams. Where they suck.
How much were you practicing for that stuff.
In the old days?
Yeah.
I don't know, probably 2 or 3 hours a day, less than I should. This problem is I went to music school just to like kind of fill my day. But like I definitely was just caring about comedy when I was.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what. It's just like it was weird because I did music school and I do comedy at night and I was way better at comedy. Like when you go to music school, like especially for classical music, like if you haven't made it by the time you're 14, like why would you? There's no career. You're basically there to go to school to be a music teacher. If you're not already being a concert performer, when you're a teenager, so. You know, I went there to learn about music. I met really great people there. I learned lots about music. It was really great. I was doing most of my doing stand-up at night. It was like, wow, I wasn't doing my homework.
I guess if you become like this prodigious classical music child, your options are that or film composer.
Yeah. Well, it's crazy. A lot of the people that I went to music school with, the ones who are really good, they just do a degree in like medicine or law or something afterwards. Like they just like it's literally the hardest thing you can do. Like music degrees are so difficult, especially classical music stuff. It's just like, oh, okay, so I got to play like 45 minutes of like the most difficult music written, or I just have to memorize facts for an exam. Are you kidding me? Do you know how much can't like, you know, it's not like a performance. It's like, okay, write your law school exam in front of 700 people. And if you make a mistake, like everyone's kind of like, oh, jeez. Oh, okay.
You know when you're doing it, then you know everyone else is picking up on it. Fuck. And then it's all over for you.
So when you first started doing stand-up, you must have been like, who cares?
Well, yeah. I mean, stand-up was so strange to me because I didn't really understand. It didn't make sense that you could just go and just test. It seemed like very low production value. Like, you know, I grew up watching, like, I loved Mr. Bean and, like, Python. And when I first got into stand-up, I watched, like, Chris Rock and... I thought his I think it was the one where he changes theaters all the time and you see the different clothes. I was like, blew my mind. I was probably a teenager when I watched that. I was like, how is this, like, how does this work? Is it like an acting monologue? Like, I don't understand. Because I was like a bit of a theater kid too. I loved acting and doing plays and things. So when I did stand up, you know, it was like the classic, just like wrote out like a page of like word for word stuff. And then I just did a bunch of horrible jokes about Harry Potter and.
But I heard everyone I've heard that saw your first set said they're like amazing.
Well, people laughed a lot, but I think it's just because you get that like nervous energy stuff.
Yeah,
going
but
on.
Have you ever bombed?
I didn't bomb in the early days. Like, eventually I did for sure. Oh man!
Once you were hooked.
Oh yeah.
Like, what was the turning point where you like did you become more loose on stage and just go on stage with ideas, and that's where that happened?
For whatever reason, like bombing in stand up felt so much like more comfortable than bombing at a piano recital.
Sure.
Like,
it's almost expected of you in comedy, but definitely not in music.
It's crazy because, like, in music, you know, everyone's quiet, especially if you're playing classical stuff.
Yeah.
But it's like a spell. Like, you're playing something really beautiful, and you screw up. It's like you dropped a baby in front of everyone.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's just like, that was my baby. And they're just on the ground broken now. You're like, I can save it. But there's like a spell, you know, you feel you can feel it in the air. Everyone's very, like, and you can feel that with stand-up, too. It's interesting. I noticed that. I know I'm doing very well if after I finish a joke, everyone's kind of like, stop laughing. It's like totally silent. Like a pin can drop.
They're really
That's when you
attention.
Know like everyone's like really on board.
Yeah.
By the way, this episode is called Baby Dropper. Miles the Baby Dropper. No, that's so true because just to get people to shut up is so possible. So if you're doing that, like it's, you know who's funny? It's like I notice Ivan's voice makes people shut up. And Yumi too because she's so quiet. Everyone like leans in kind of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's definitely different techniques. Being quiet is one for sure.
Yeah.
Ivan is loud.
Yeah.
He kind of soars above.
Yeah.
But Ivan's funny in that he is such a joke dense set.
Yeah.
That it's almost like it's just going to he'll just pommel them into finally being like, oh, there's something going on. Like it's funny how it's like that. It is important. That's why I think it's really important to, you know, do clubs a lot because a lot of the time they can be rowdy.
Yeah.
And bars and stuff. You know, they hate everyone who goes on stage. You know, if they're not from Everybody Loves Raymond or something, you know, if it's not Raymond.
Raymond himself, Raymond. Which is funny because I saw Raymond go on at Yuck Yucks and I saw him kind of struggle. So even then.
Oh, that's so funny. But it's true. I don't know. You kind of have to learn how to win them over, which is, you know, It's not like that in classical music. You don't start off with a rowdy crowd.
They're heckling you? I'd love if you're a classical heckler.
It was like that in the
there's
old days.
There's aria!
It would have been like that in the old days. It's very funny.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Like, there's a reason why at the opera, a lot of the overtures start with like these really loud chords.
Oh, yeah?
Because everyone would be like, you know, screwing around and yelling and talking and drinking and smoking. And then like the opera's starting and they're like, I don't care. And then like eventually like they'd kind of quell
into their state. I hate, it's funny because like just from being around stand-up so much, you get to know people's acts. And some people's acts rely on there being a moment of pure silence.
And if
the audience decides to not participate, and help, it just ruins it. Like Rachel Schaefer has this joke, it's her closer, and at the end she says something and then there's a good 10 seconds of silence and then she goes good. And last time I saw her was at Yuck Yucks, and she got to about 7 seconds, some guy went what, and it just ruined the show.
Oh, God.
It's like, oh, you idiot.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah, it's so annoying. But it's tough, though, because you expect that, but also you're just, like, filling people full of liquor for hours.
Yeah.
No, exactly.
Yeah, it's funny, like, from producing comedy albums, it's like usually I'll do one show Thursday, two Friday, two Saturday. The late Saturday is always a shit show. You can't expect anyone to be quiet at any time, really. And it was funny, I recorded Graham Clark's album, it just hasn't come out yet, but we were cutting back and forth between the different shows, and there's one show where he's audibly hammered, and so one joke he'll be fine, and then the next one he's just drunk for some reason, and then it goes back to the normal one again. It's so funny.
I remember at one of the shows, I can't remember who was taping, but I brought a friend, you remember that?
Yeah.
Who kept heckling, she kept calling out.
Oh, is it Yuck Yucks? I'm trying to remember.
I was like, no, I can't say on the podcast who, because I think she's going to hear it.
I think it was Stuart Jones's album.
Yeah. And she kept calling out, and I was like, oh, God, stop it.
Oh, man. Yeah. It's funny. Stuart Jones is like so underrated, because when I did his shows for his album, he did two different hours. It's like, what?
That's great. Oh,
yeah.
God.
That's so crazy.
That's amazing.
Yeah. You could do that. You turn material over so quick.
Yeah, I've got lots more than I thought I did. When I go through it, I'm like, oh, yeah, there's actually quite a lot.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, it's hard to decide what to do, and you know, some of the stuff is, I just, if stuff's not good enough, I just throw it away and just don't think about it anymore.
How do you find out if it's not good enough? You try it?
I just try it, and if it's just like, yeah, if it just doesn't do as well as it should or doesn't fit, and I just kind of put it in a file it away, and then if I feel like I'm going to work on it again, I'm pretty lazy with trying to perfect things. Like a lot of people I know will be like, there's something there. I'll be like, if literally this premise doesn't get something, I'll just throw it away. I'll just do another one. I just have too many to
That's
try.
So funny, because
you know?
I so don't think you're lazy, and neither does anybody else. Like, you're actually so prolific. Yeah.
I'm lucky that I have a good memory for stuff that works, I think. I always remember exactly what worked, if it worked.
Wow.
It just kind of sticks in there for a long time. I never record stuff, no.
Did you have, because you went to music school, did you have day jobs and stuff during that time?
Yeah.
What was your worst day job?
When I very first started, when I was like 19, I helped my cousin Rob build his shop, and I was like doing like forms on the concrete.
Oh, I thought you meant you helped your cousin rob a store.
Well,
I know the look on your face.
Yeah,
he's like, Ivan, looks back at me and he's like,
Ivan came on and we talked about all the crimes he's committed.
Oh yeah, I've done that too. It's very.
Please tell me, what crimes have you committed?
Well, I don't want to be totally criminal myself. I will do old crimes.
Yeah,
I
old crimes.
That statute of statute of
I'm not going to get into my new crimes.
No. I mean, I'm not going to talk about all that Serb fraud. I don't know if you saw the Tesla I pulled in. But
claiming Serb from like 20 people.
Yeah. The license plate just says Serb. I grew up riding motorcycles and in Shawnee Lake, and you're not allowed to ride them on the road.
Yeah,
because they're not insured. But I used to do that all the time with my brothers. And the police tried to pull us over once, and we just gunned it.
Oh, my God.
And it was terrifying.
You and
like,
your
it's
brother?
Never cool. Like, I'm always just like, I'm going to throw up. I'm so scared. Like, I don't even know what made me do that. Like, when you reach that point of, like, should I break the law or not? And you're like, yes. And I knew that I'd get away. Like, I weighed the odds, and I was like, so funny. And we were only chased for maybe like 15 seconds before we saw, I knew we were near a trail, and we just like, rip, 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 just went up this trail, and we were gone.
No way.
That's crazy. It was
that's really pretty awesome. Badass.
You got away from the cops.
Yeah, I did that once, and then another time I was on, later on, I was going to university, and I was on my, I had like a Suzuki Bandit 600. It was like a fairly fast motorcycle. And I was going too fast down some road, and an officer of the law, like, stepped out of a freaking bush. Like, he's already breaking the rules.
Yeah, yeah,
like, don't
yeah.
hide. But anyway, he comes out of this bush and, like, motions for me to pull over, and I, like, leaned back and, like, put my hand over my license plate.
Driving. No way!
And I was so scared. I, like, folded to, like, a parking garage and just, like, trembled. And that was the scariest one. But I think it's just my, like, I won't tell too many stepdad stories, but my stepdad definitely, like, broke the law a lot. So I think I'll maybe learned it from him. Like, he did it a lot, and, like, there was no consequences. So I was like, oh, there really aren't, like, no consequences for doing stuff like this. You know, I don't know. It's probably just the old white privilege kicking in there, but...
The old Victoria white privilege.
There's so many police in Victoria. It's insane. Like, Oak Bay has its own police force. Oak Bay is like, it'd be like Kitsilano having a police force. It's like, why? And they're like, well, because there's a lot of tennis courts here. And we need it to be quiet. It's crazy. And high-speed chases are illegal on Vancouver Island as well.
High-speed chases
they're not allowed.
Cops aren't allowed.
Cops are not allowed to chase you. I had a friend in high school who had a... Kawasaki Ninja. I think there was also a 600, 650.
I like how many motorcycles stories you have.
Yeah. Oh, it's just, I know, it's so bad. But my grandpa was into motorcycles. He had a Triumph Bonneville back in 1963, 1964, and he used to work in the logging roads, and he talks about just like going 100 miles an hour with like all his buddies just ripping down the island highway on these old bikes. I can't believe that he survived all that. But, But yeah, this guy I knew had a bike like that. He just never insured it. He just drove this crotch rocket. And then if, like, you know, you can't do that. You can't have no license plate. But he just did. And if he ever got, like, the cops flashed their lights, he was just like, oh, I'll just go. Like, I'll just drive away. Like, they
can't keep up with
me. They can't identify them.
Yeah.
They're like, there's a red motorcycle going fast. Catch one.
Had the foresight to cover your license plate.
I bet it probably didn't even work. I bet they were just like, what an idiot, and just let me go or something. I don't know. Maybe they just wanted to say hello.
Hey, I'm a big fan of your comedy. I love canned applause.
Emerging canned from laughter. A bush to tell you that.
Yeah.
Oh, hey.
Yeah. He's probably committing his own crime in there. That's what people do in shrubs. Wow, that's so crazy. It's so funny because when we were doing your album and your brother was there, I heard you guys talking and it made me laugh because he's similar to you except snobbier, I feel like. And so you guys had this very like sort of like it felt like a couple of like waspy rich kids gossiping about somebody, and it made me, and I think that's your humor kind of with him.
We definitely have like a one Niles and Frasier thing.
Exactly. And like you brought up somebody, let's say their name's Philip, you're like, yeah, but Philip, and your brother's like, oh, Philip, what's he been up to? It made me laugh so hard because I started to get you a little bit more, because your brother, who's not even a comedian, he just had this, you know.
Oh yeah,
it made me laugh.
Now my brother's very funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the thing is, me and brother, we're huge readers. I think that like ruined us, our like vocabulary.
Really?
Because we grew up, you know, not a cool guy. So I had to read a lot to find my friends in the books.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Captain Ahab, my best friend.
I think something happens when you're a little kid and you read like a lot of like classical fiction, and you read these characters and they have these huge lives, and you know, you read like Charles Dickens and things, you're reading, you know, French Revolution, and there's these life and death and these big stories, and then, you know, you're like 14, 13 and you know, people are like obsessed with like high school politics, and
Pokemon,
I'm just like, the
something.
World is so much larger than you.
You're an old soul, Miles.
Yeah, I don't know. and then yeah, practicing classical music. Yeah. And, you know, it's, I don't know. I've always kind of been, that was my escapism with books.
It's so funny though, because you have these like artistic tastes that are like way older, and then like absurd comedy taste.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's
weird.
Like beyond childish in a way.
Oh yeah. You know what yeah. I mean? It's supposed to be silly. I love silly stuff. Yeah. When I was a class clown in school, for sure.
Did you get in trouble for it?
All the time. I've been suspended from every school I've been to. Like, totally. Like,
really?
Big trouble.
What did they say?
Well, I was very disruptive.
The
story in my class about being kicked out of the classroom and standing in the hallway and then just like coming back in. I was actually in grade 2. I was in the gifted children's program for like an hour and a half. That's as long as I lasted.
Me too.
Because I don't know what that was. I was already mad. I'm like, this is absurd that there's a gifted child. Like, what are we, X-Men? Give me a break. Like, there's no way you know a kid is gifted when they're that. Anyway, so
you do kind of look like Iceman.
Maybe a little bit. But I was in there for the way I got kicked out is an interesting story. I was out there and all the kids were in like regular class. And we all got to go out and do the gifted kids program. So they, instead of being in classroom, they like took us out to the field and they gave us all like magnifying glasses to like study bugs, yeah. Which is what gifted kids do, you know.
Absolutely.
And instead of studying bugs, I started a fire. I put some dry leaves together, started a fire, and I was a bit of a pyromaniac because in my house we had a wood stove, and I was in charge of starting all the fires, and I liked it. It was cool to see the chemical reaction. So cool. I just started a fire, and I started a little campfire on the playground, and like a teacher just was running at me from across the playground, like, "What are you doing?" And I'm just like, "Pop a squat." We're having a fire.
Yeah,
it was not a malicious fire. It was a friendly fire.
It was a friendly fire.
They also moved me up as well to do the same gifted kids program in the second grade.
Wow.
From first to second.
That's funny. Yeah.
And I remember I had like a split classroom and all my friends were in the first grade and I had to go and sit and do math in second grade. And all I just sat there and I just watched my friends play and I'm like, this sucks.
Yeah.
I want to go back.
Oh yeah. It's really, I don't really know when that, I wonder if they still do that. I'm not sure.
Seems discriminatory.
It seems
pretty
mean.
Says the dumb kid from math class.
It does seem to, I remember I did like a math contest in grade 5 and I like, it was just within my class, but I like won it out of spite because it's like, this girl who's really annoying me.
Yeah.
She was like being all pretentious.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I'll beat you. And then I did. And then I like never pursued math afterwards. Bored.
You didn't join the mathletes.
Yeah, I didn't care. But it was like super, it was like who can do like the times tables the fastest or something. It was like super stupid.
Right here. Now let me ask you this. When you were that age and all your contemporaries in your classrooms were into like Power Rangers or Pokemon, were you like, fuck. Fools. I'm into Beethoven.
Well, there's one craze I participated in. I didn't get into Pokemon cards like everybody else, but I was into Crazy Bones.
What's that?
Oh, it's like these weird little collectible little plastic things. And they were super dumb, but I was like, I think I got a couple good ones, so I was like, I really have some power in this.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I think I'm onto something.
I got in trouble because I traded like one Crazy Bone for like a kid's graphing calculator. I saw the value there. And my mom made me like trade it back. She's like,
an early hustler.
Yeah, don't take advantage of this kid. Yeah, that was super strange. But I got kicked out of class a lot. I was very divisive.
Yeah.
A lot of teachers really loved me. They thought it was very entertaining. And some were like, this is a nightmare.
Really?
I remember the very first time I knew teachers were full of shit was in grade 4. And we were talking about, we were doing a whole unit on Nunavut and like the Inuit and stuff. And my aunt lived in Iqaluit for a long time. She worked for the CBC there. And she recorded Inuit legends from all the older Inuit people there.
Yeah.
And so she gave us all these CDs and my mom would play them sometimes at nighttime. So this is very, you know, weird again, strange stories filling my head when I'm kidding. Yeah. Inuit stories, they're like Grimm's fairy tales. Like they're not for kids. Like polar bears are slaughtering people all the time. It's like pretty terrifying. But this teacher was like telling me, she's like, oh, this is how they do stuff there. And she was like telling me like they make canoes out of like logs and stuff. And I was like, they don't have trees there. And I was like super mad. And she's like, they do, like, how else? Like, how do they have fires there? And I explained, yeah. I'm like, oh, they use like fish oil and these little like lamps and stuff. And she was like, well, that's just wrong. And I was so mad because she's like the powerful figure telling me that I'm wrong, even though I know that I'm for sure right. And I was just so triggered. Yeah. Definitely kicked out of class for that one.
That's what's funny when you're a kid and you realize just because someone's an adult doesn't mean they know anything. Because I had that with my teachers too. I had a teacher tell me, I was in grade 9, she was like, yeah, back like 100 years ago, people would live hundreds of years. And it's like, oh, you're religious. That's what this is.
Yeah, that's what this is.
And I had another teacher tell my class that John Lennon was killed by the CIA.
No, that's funny. Yeah, that's a good one.
It's like, I didn't understand conspiracy theories yet. Sorry, go on.
Oh, no, I was just going to say I had this one teacher that thought that Lord of the Flies took place in the future.
Whoa.
And she made us, like, we had to take a test, a recap test on that book.
So you're answering it wrong.
If we didn't put the fact that, like it was a multiple choice thing, and if we didn't say it took place in the future, we got it wrong.
That's so crazy. I know. You can be like a mind controller when you're a teacher.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Right? It was so weird. The only reason she thought that is because they mentioned passenger tubes at the very beginning when the kids are all in the plane. Oh, and she's like, well, passenger tubes, well, that's not something that they had. I'm like, sounds like part of the plane.
Yeah. It's funny. The last question on the test is, you're not going to tell anyone else about this test, are you?
That's so wild.
It just blew my mind that like could like affect our grade. By, you know, not buying into her weird theories.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you've had Darcy on the podcast before, right? Me and Darcy went to school together, and Darcy knows that I was, like, a total spaz. I don't know if you talked about this, but me and Darcy have definitely different points of view. But I was, like, yeah.
He hasn't told me. What?
Oh, he hasn't told you
no,
stories?
No, what happened?
Oh, well, that's good. I can get my version of it. Well, I mean, I really didn't like school a lot, again, for this, like... So again, there's some teachers who were awesome. Some teachers were so cool. So it's amazing how important a good teacher is in your life.
Yeah.
It's crazy how much it affects you. But a lot of teachers really hated me at my school. And I did a video once.
It's because you're smarter than them.
Oh, maybe. Well, I don't know. I was funnier than them.
Yeah.
But this one teacher, it was really difficult. I went to a school that was self-paced.
Okay.
Which sounds insane, because it is insane. It was a specially built school, I think, in the early 2000s. They had a really great theater program there, but unfortunately, as soon as I arrived, this really good theater teacher like left to do like plays. And so we just had like an in limbo theater system there, and it sucked because I really wanted to do acting and things, but didn't get to do that. But anyway, the school is designed to be self-paced, so every week kids would have a certain amount of learning guides to do, and then you would do them at your own pace, and you'd like schedule when you wanted to do tests and stuff in the testing center.
Yeah.
It was very strange. Like, you could literally do high school in a year, or you could do it in 5 years.
What?
So it was a very funny social experiment to see, because, you know, they wanted to teach kids like self-motivation and prepare them for university, which is stupid, because university is not that. University is like, you do the thing by this time or you're done, bud.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you don't self-pace anything. Nothing's self-paced. So it was very funny, because it was like a huge difference between boys and girls at that school. Like, girls would be like, let's like see how fast we can finish high school. And like, let's all do like homework parties and stuff. And guys are just like, stupid shit, dude. I'm gonna go play Call of Duty. Like, is it crazy to see the grad photos of just like 85% girls?
Oh my God.
And then like somehow like 8 guys who like managed to do high school in like 13 days at the end. Like, that's that was my case. Like, I procrastinated so much, and I had wanted to be valedictorian because I just wanted to do the speech at the end. Because I had like a banger in my head of like, I was gonna like completely like tear down the school and make all these jokes about the self-paced system. I remember my opening line where I was gonna say, ladies and gentlemen, we go to a school where they tell a 14-year-old that everything they have to do is due in 4 years. Like, great wow. Experiment, BC government. It's only one of 2 schools in Canada that did this.
I can't believe there's more than one.
Yeah. No, it's insane, and they've really dialed it back, because it was a failure. Like, a lot of kids didn't graduate in time.
Of course, that's way too much power for a teenager.
It's really stupid, and it's all about like having a good advisor that would make you stay on track. Your parents like constantly monitoring you. It's, you're not mature enough to make those decisions. But I I was like a child until I was like 23. Like I, you know, I didn't know anything or consequences and stuff. I just, you know, wanted to make jokes, but it was crazy. Me and Darcy went to that school and I got kicked out of English class for, I forget what I was doing. We were reenacting Star Wars together. That's how I met Darcy in grade 9 English class. And I was like, just doing Star Wars sound effects in the corner, because of course I was. I was just like doing like little walker sounds, like, and then Darcy like came in with his hand, and he was like, and like started like attacking like my hand walk. Yeah, he just like entered my realm.
That's how men become friends.
My imaginarium, and I was like, welcome.
Yeah,
it was very funny.
That's adorable.
And I got in English. You're not allowed to write the final exam unless you have all this coursework done, and I didn't do all the coursework, so they weren't going to let me write the exam. So over a week, I did like all of English 12's coursework, and then I was like, it's done, I've done it. And then so I like got registered for the exam, and then I eventually got like, I was sitting in the exam room, like this exam, and one of the teachers came in and said, like, you haven't done like this one page of something, and they were going to like make me stop the exam. And I was like, I have to graduate. I have to do this to graduate. And I was like so mad.
Yeah.
So I like took the exam off my table and just walked out of the classroom. And then I just like, I wandered down somewhere and they were calling me on the announcements. They were like miles away from the office. They heard that. I heard that a lot. And they were like searching all over the school for me, and they wouldn't find me. And they like eventually found me. They're like, where'd you put the exam? They didn't want me to take the exam and show it to kids.
Love it.
So I realized that. And I was like, they're like, what did you do with the exam? I was like, photocopied. And I sent it to the Russians. Which I thought was the funniest joke.
It is.
And God, it was a nightmare. And they didn't let me be valedictorian because, you know, I'm a huge liability. Like, I was like the Norm Macdonald of my school. They're like, if we let him talk, he's going to burn this down. Like, he's bad. He's bad news. And I went back to high school once because my advisor, who was a super cool guy, got me a rubber chicken as a graduation gift. Because he knew I was the funny guy. So it was great. I laughed really hard. But when I went there to pick it up, this is like in September of the next year. And so we were graduated. And like the vice principal saw me at the school. He was really mad. They basically graduated me because they couldn't handle me being there any longer. So yeah, they're just like, get him out of here. Yeah. And so I came back and he's like, what are you doing here, Miles? And I was like, oh, I was like, my girlfriend's in grade 9, so. I just thought I'd pick her up, you know.
So tired of your jokes.
The old ball and chain.
14. Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's so fucking funny. Oh my God. Yeah. I wish I could have seen that. I had the same thing where my teacher was like, took me aside and was like, listen, if you shut up all day, you can have the last 50 minutes of class and everyone has to watch whatever you do. I was like, all right. And then I got even worse grades because I was just working on my hot 15 all day.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. That's so funny.
But at least I was quiet, not disrupting people. Yeah, it's funny. This friend of mine from grade 9 sent me an Instagram DM recently, and it was just a screenshot of her books, her like notebooks from that day, and I just written "I am God" all over it.
Oh,
you, yeah. She's like, "Remember this? It was really hard sitting beside you. It's very distracting." Yeah,
that's so funny. Yeah, the old notebooks are so weird. Man, I was so unself-aware too. It's weird because like I was like horrible, like cringest nightmare.
What do you mean?
And I was like I said, I was a spaz.
Like, how were you a spaz?
Well, I had a big anger problem. I was a very angry kid.
Like, you get mad in class at people?
Well, sometimes. I just didn't like injustice. I didn't like people.
Well, I still don't like authority. And you were probably like that.
Yeah, and I was like, you know, I was bullied a lot in school as well, which is a sad thing. Huh. But I was bullied a lot. I was not in sports. Like, I didn't get
to. Those are your first hecklers.
Those are my first hecklers. And my stepdad always taught me bad life advice. He says, if people are, like, bullying you, like, you just have to beat them down. Like, you have to hit them.
Wow.
That's how you do it.
Yeah, my parents told me that,
Like, literally, like, this is your life advice. He's like, aim for their nose. Like, it hurts a lot if you punch them in the nose. I mean, I did martial arts a lot growing up because of this reason. Like, he's like, you'll just have to fight everyone then. I was like, okay.
And he's like, listen, you have a very annoying personality. This is going to be an ongoing problem.
And I was like that until, like, maybe, like, late middle school when people all hit puberty and fighting hurt a lot after that, right? I mean, kids are pretty weak until they hit puberty and all of a sudden people start to get really hurt.
Oh my god!
But
so fought a lot.
So I fought a lot. Wow. I was fighting kids all the time, and you know that's not cool or fun.
Yeah.
you know, that's not a fun guy to be around.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, people. You know, I was very strange. I wore like giant gumboots when it was raining. Aww. I had like I would be playing the piano and like video games, and I had two brothers, and I was just like I had the joke in my set about that. I remember. Where my mom's like, "Miles, you need to make friends, you know, outside of the house. Like,
yeah.
Make friends your own age." And I say, "Well, why would I eat out when I got steak at home, right?"
Never heard of a teenager love their brothers so much.
But it was, I mean, obviously, no. It was not incestuous, but I did. I mean, I hung out with my brothers. I was like, you know, everyone at school, I mean, hockey was huge. And if you weren't on the hockey team, it was really hard to make friends because all the dads knew each other, would all, you know, beat the same kids. So I wasn't in that group.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to hang out with them. And, you know, everyone would go to this Friday night skate at school.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was like a big skate? Social venue. It was like a skating rink. And I just never went because I didn't know how to skate.
Yeah.
Aww. You know, and the only sports I did were like solo sports, like golf and tennis. And like piano is not a social instrument.
No.
It's not even a collaborative
instrument. Barely collaborative. And so I was just so strangely isolated. So I had like a few good friends growing up, but I was not like, I was, you know, well known because I was a spaz. And I do funny things. Like people were like, he is very funny, but like, don't get too near.
Yeah.
But I was very unself-aware. Until I went to France and kind of learned.
Oh yeah, you moved to France for a while. Yeah. I forgot.
That was like my
crazy,
my interesting. I just like the scariest thing I could possibly do until I.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, it's not as scary.
That's so cool. Yeah, it's kind of like I felt like I was like a depressed gothy teenager.
Yeah.
And then when I got out of high school, I feel like my life started then.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I went to audio school, and there's like other people like me and. And,
yeah, we're idiots for so long.
Yeah, for sure.
We really are. It's crazy to think about yourself in high. Like, I can't believe it when kids in high school are cool. I'm like, how?
Yeah, but that's it for them.
That's when they're cool. Yeah, that's the only time they're cool.
Maybe it's the only time.
That's it.
It just blows my mind.
That's harder to recover from than what we did.
And I just didn't like, bend to the trends. I didn't want to, I hated the thought that I'd have to change for other people.
Yeah.
I hated it. I didn't like that thought.
Yeah.
So I was always just kind of very strange and would just, I just be myself. And if they don't like it, I will just play with my model trains.
I love that.
And bide my time.
So and work at the museum.
I had a remote control airplane once.
Yeah.
Oh man, this is such a funny story. I had a remote control airplane, and I thought it was pretty cool.
I agree.
And
with
I was
you.
Maybe yeah. I was too old to think this is cool. I was probably 17. Like kids are driving, and I'm just like, yeah, I have a pretty cool plane that I fly around this field. And I went up this field, and like all these like popular lacrosse players were up there like slinging a ball around.
Yeah.
And I was like, God damn it.
Yeah.
But I just want to fly my plane. So yeah. I'm like, I'm still going to do it because fuck these guys. They're going to ruin my flight.
Yeah.
So I like launched my plane and like I could see they were like shit talking me. And I was like, fuck it, I'm going to blow their minds right now. And I pressed the button and I like released a paratrooper. And I thought that would like totally like be like, I mean, now they know. I'm kind of cool.
You're like, sorry.
Yeah, better shut up, boys.
Sorry, I had to alpha male you guys in front of your girls, but that is a paratrooper. It's a G.I. Joe. Can I have it back?
And it was so strange, too, like growing up in the woods, like how doing anything different was gay.
Yeah. I know.
It just, it makes no sense at all. They're like, Miles likes train. Sounds gay. I'm like, that doesn't mean anything. That's not at all what gay means. How is that indicative of your sexuality? But
little did they know all the crimes you'd commit later.
Yeah, I was going to do lots of crimes. I was low-key cool.
Have any of those guys ever seen you do stand-up?
Oh, yeah, all the time. I'd see them, they come to Heckler sometimes.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they'd be like, how is he so cool now?
Yeah, exactly. Because you're controlling audiences.
It's very annoying.
And there's girls in those audiences. Yeah. So they're probably like, whoa, this guy's the male specimen now.
You said it. Anyway, Kevin gets a little drunk, you know.
gets a little drunk. It's a little pink.
Drunk. He'll he'll compliment your masculinity.
It's a little pink.
It's a little pink.
Gets a little flirty.
A little flirty with Miles.
Well, it's funny.
Those guys didn't know the real Miles.
Imagine how annoying it is. I mean, they build up their whole life of being like, oh, yeah, I'll be like a toxic man. Like, yeah. That's really cool. And yeah. Then all of a sudden, you know, they go to a comedy club and they see like a total dork. Like winning over everyone.
Yeah.
And they're just like, son of a bitch. Yeah. Like, did I do everything wrong? Like, I've got all that, like, CTE in my brain for no reason.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What have I done?
Yeah. But I had 7 concussions in 12th grade.
Yeah.
You told me that was for nothing. Yeah.
That's what I learned, you know, if you're the funny person.
Yeah.
You know, it's way better than to try to be the guy who fights everyone for being mean to him. Like, yeah. if someone's mean to you and you're funnier than them, you'll win over everyone else.
Yeah.
And they'll all turn against the one person. I remember one time in high school, there was like, I was like, had some sort of strange online arguments with some hockey players on Facebook.
From your school?
From my school. And wow. They were like waiting to like beat me up in the parking lot when I was going there for some grad event or whatever.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to beat me up. They ended up, like, fighting my friend out of nowhere. It was so insane. I mean, we all, you know, it's all water on the bridge now. We don't hold any grudges. But it was very insane. It was very high school. And then the principal there was, like, talking to the kid. He's like, the kid's telling a story. Oh, Miles is shit talking. It's online, blah, blah, blah. He's like, well, why did you fight the other guy instead of Miles? Like, even the principal's like, this makes no sense. And the guy's like, well, he's like, well, I couldn't hit Miles. I mean, he's, like, the fun guy.
Like, I wouldn't want to ruin his future.
Like, imagine. It's like beating
Brian, on the other hand.
It's like beating up SpongeBob. Yeah. Like, don't do that.
He beat up Patrick.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that.
Hit Patrick. I don't know. It was very strange.
Wow. Oh. That's so interesting.
But yeah, it's amazing how, I mean, God, hockey's so powerful in Canada. It's a powerful, powerful thing.
And
yeah.
It means nothing in America, by the way.
Means nothing in the States. No. It means nothing anywhere.
I know. It's the coolest thing here, though.
Yeah.
Even if you don't like it, you know about it. That's how big it is in this country.
Yeah.
I think that was probably that what I was refreshing when I moved to France for a little while. I was like, oh, they don't care about hockey here.
No, I don't think they care about any sports. And if they do, it's something that no one knows over here, like cricket or something.
They like soccer, which is like almost like slapstick comedy when they get injured. It's very dramatic.
It is overacted for
so,
sure.
I get it.
Yeah, it's in your wheelhouse.
I remember there was, like, in my 7th grade class, there were a bunch of guys that used to play hockey, and they thought they were, like, the coolest.
Yeah.
And I was, like, this little chubby, like, just not very greasy kind of kid, and I had a little mustache growing in, and I remember all the hockey guys gathered around me at one point, and they start pushing me.
Oh, my God!
Like, Alexi has a mustache!
Oh. Name names.
They're just mean.
Name names, these pieces of shit.
They ain't worth it.
Exactly.
That's like the opposite, like the positive circle they do for a guy who has a mustache.
Right. Like, he has a mustache.
He's a man.
Kyle did it. Wow.
Yeah. That definitely was a point of pride when you could first grow facial hair. It's
like, oh my God.
Some of my friends still aren't there.
Yeah.
I was so like sad. I was so sad to have facial hair and like grow up, because I was like, I knew how much being a kid was important because of all the books I read. You know, like they talk about their childhoods and things, and I'd be like, I'd be like 8 years old, be like, I'm in my childhood. Like, I was
better
like,
live it up.
Yeah, right,
I just read Huck Finn. I really should embrace this.
I'd be like, I'll never have these lazy days like I have now by the lake.
These
like,
lazy
I was so
racist
strange.
Days.
These lazy racist.
I love how self aware that is too.
So yeah, that's self-aware, so amazing. But also not self aware at all. Like I especially like when I, you know, started getting interested in the opposite sex. That was a nightmare.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like all of a sudden I'm like, why am I so nervous around women? Like, why is this a thing now? I was fine before. It was great. It was just the lake and my bike. Like, that was just like very simple. Now all of a sudden I'm so scared.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh no. Like, it was very, you know, and that's where I was cringe. Oh my God, high school. Like, I told you the story about one time, like, this girl I really liked, and I was in the practice room and I was like, you want to see some like piano? And I like played, like, started playing a song, which was like 12 minutes long. And when I finished, she was gone.
Oh, no.
I was like playing a Mozart sonata. Oh, like, you know,
oh no.
And she was gone. And I was just like, no.
That was supposed to work.
That was supposed to work. Oh, no.
Normally it does.
Oh my God. Yeah. That was brutal. Also, just like, again, just being an alone man, like having no way to like, just like no like male support. I didn't have the toxic men around me to like give me confidence.
Not even your brothers. They weren't toxic.
And especially like, I, you know, it just seems so rude to just bother women. It's like, you're right. I don't really want to impose.
Yeah. I still don't. All right, Miles. Well, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
What a blast!
That was your album is so good.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I'm glad we could do that before the whole world ended and everything. You know?
I know, just in the nick of time. And I was just, we were talking about Miles' Perfect Christmas.
Oh, that was fun.
That was so good.
Yeah, I like doing that. Yeah. I like doing the weird stuff.
I know.
I do. I've been working a lot on my my YouTube channel with Brian.
You and Brian are
the Bachelors of Music is our channel.
The Bachelors of Music?
Yes.
We'll put it up on the screen.
Yes.
Brian is underrated, equally as weird and funny as you.
Oh yeah, he's so looked over. He's such a talented guy.
I know he is.
He's got this
quiet confidence that's like, oh okay, you know you're good.
There's just something about people that come just out of the middle of the woods that are so entertaining.
Yeah, I know. I love him. Yeah. Oh. All right, Miles. Thanks for coming on. Everybody, listen to Miles' album.
Yeah.
It's Miles very good. It begins and ends with him playing piano.
So good.
Yeah. Okay. That's the end of this episode. I'm still drunk. I'm sorry.